Last Sunday, celebrated the 7 o'clock Mass here at St. Anne's Sunday evening. We had Mass, went out with a few people there afterwards, so I got home around 10 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, just as I was unlocking my door, a man I didn't know biked up to the edge of the driveway, and I heard him say, "Hey, can you help me?" Now, it was late, been a long day, it was dark out, I didn't know this guy. He asked kind of quietly, "So here's a moment of confession for you. For a moment, I had the thought, I could just pretend I didn't hear. It's been a long day, it's dark, I don't know this guy, I can just slip in." But I just spent the whole weekend preaching about abiding in the love of God, and I do try to practice what I preach. So this time at least, I turned around and I was able to help him. But I imagine that we all face similar moments, don't we? These moments where a chance to love presents itself to us. We know what faith calls us to, and then we hesitate. And sometimes in that hesitation, we do make the decision to love. Sometimes, maybe unfortunately, in that hesitation, we fall short and we don't do what we know our faith is asking us of us in that moment. Or sometimes maybe we just don't know what our faith is asking of us in that moment. So if we face that, here's some good news. That God's word today puts before us some really good guideposts, showing us, inspiring us, how it is that we love as our faith calls us to. And the first thing we see in these readings is that our love, the love that Jesus calls us to, or really commands of us here, our love is a sharing in the divine love. And that may sound very lofty, but we'll see what that means. And first we hear Jesus say this, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." And then he says to us, "Love one another as I have loved you." So the Father has loved me, I have loved you, love one another as I have loved you. So Jesus is calling us to love the way that God loves, to be part of that love. And what this shows us then is Jesus for us is both the model of love. Jesus shows us what love looks like, and he's also the source of our love. And when he means Jesus is a source of our love, I think a week ago, we had the reading or the saying from Jesus that we are like branches grafted onto the vine that is Jesus. And what that was saying to us is that if we try to love on our own strength, our own ability, our own generosity, just by ourselves, then we fall short. But sharing in the divine love, what that means, Jesus as a source of our love, it means that we can draw on, be filled with, be empowered by the love of God. And it's like that, it's attached to God, living in his love, then we love as our Lord commands. So Jesus as the source of our love, first of all. Or another way of looking at this comes from an old poem by Dante. You may have heard of Dante's Inferno. He wrote that in Italy in the 1300s, and it's a poem about a guy who does a journey through hell. But what we often don't realize is the Inferno is just the first part of a three-part series of poems. So after the Inferno, he wrote one called the Purgatorio, which is about his journey through purgatory. And he presents purgatory as a mountain that he climbs up, and as he climbs it, he goes through these various trials to overcome different sins, the seven deadly sins. That's book number two. And then book number three is called the Paradiso, which is a journey through heaven. So overall, he presents a sort of spiritual journey through hell, purgatory, heaven. And that whole thing ends with him with a vision of God. And how, as a poet, do you describe what it is to see God? Well, he says it like this, and these are the last words of this whole long three-part series of poems. It ends with these words. "My heart was moved by the love that moves the sun and the other stars." And that, I think, is a great description of what we mean by divine love, that my heart was moved by the love that moves the sun and the other stars. So divine love, we're saying here, is that love that moves the sun and the other stars, to say that all of creation is imprinted with, guided by the love of God. And then the goal of the Christian life, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, is to be moved by that love, to move with the love that moves the sun and the other stars. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you." Or we heard in the second reading, "Beloved, let us love, because love is from God." So our love, sharing in the divine love that moves the sun and the other stars, sounds great, I hope, kind of inspiring, I hope. But also I think there's a danger to this. And the danger I see to talking about love in this way is that it can feel very lofty, very heavenly, maybe a very abstract, maybe even a little bit unreal. And what I mean by that is when I think of how I personally encounter divine love was largely a sort of personal internal experience, right? When I'm sitting down at home, eyes closed at prayer, that's when I experience divine love. Or I'm here sitting alone, kneeling alone in the church at adoration when I'm celebrating Mass. But it's because we can't see God, our relationship with God often exists as part of our interior life. And the danger here I'm pointing out is we can think that that's what divine love is too. That what it means to share in the love of God is something that is interior to me. So we may think that sharing the divine love, well, what might that mean? Well, that might mean praying for people or thinking nice thoughts about people or feeling nice things about people, all things that just go on internally. And that's the kind of love that, you know, it feels good, but it doesn't do much good for others, and it doesn't cost very much. And of course, praying, that's the exception. That does do good for other people. But thinking nice thoughts about people, feeling nice thoughts about humanity, that doesn't cost too much and doesn't do too much. But because our experience with God is often internal, we can think that's what divine love means. It's just that internal sense of love, and that's where it ends. But against that, we hear things like this in the second reading. This is love. God sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Or as Jesus says too in the gospel, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So what really does divine love look like? Well, the model of divine love is not some hermit sitting in a cave away from everybody else. But the model of divine love is Jesus. How he lived, how he loved, that's the model. So think of Jesus who touched the man with leprosy. So while this man was carrying this dangerous, disfiguring, infectious disease, Jesus touched him with love. That's divine love. Or Jesus, when he faced down the angry crowd, ready to kill the woman who they said they'd caught in the act of adultery, and Jesus stands up to the crowd on her behalf. That's divine love. Or Jesus, who took the cross and forgave his executioners from the cross. That's divine love. And also, Jesus, who, when he needed to, at times, did step away from the crowds, spent time alone in prayer, that too is divine love. That part of this love is love of self in the right way as well, absolutely. So our love, sharing in the divine love that moves the sun and the other stars, but this divine love is real, it's concrete, it's costly, it sometimes is sacrificial. And one last thing that these readings show us about love is that divine love means following the commandments. And that may sound strange, right? Because often today, we can put law and love in a sort of a tension, that if we're legalistic, it means we're not being loving. But five times in this gospel, Jesus unites loving and following the commandments. Not opposed, not in tension, but necessarily connected. So the commandments show us what it is to love. And why might we need that? Well, one reason we might need that is sometimes we don't know what love requires. And maybe we think we do, we try, but sometimes if we're honest, don't we sometimes get it wrong? Let's say one simple example. A spouse comes home from work and they had a hard day and they want to share with their spouse how hard their day was. My boss is really unfair to me. Customers are really mean and unkind. It's a really hard day. The other spouse hears all this. They love their spouse. So what do? Let's solve the problem. Here's what you should do. Here's what you should say. This is what we're going to do. Does a spouse who had the hard day feel loved by the problem solving? Well, not always, right? Sometimes what they're looking for is empathy, understanding. That's how they would experience love in that moment. So sometimes, isn't it true, we want to love, but we sometimes get it wrong. Now, that's not a moral example, but I want to close here with a more of a tough example. And let's say the situation of someone we know experiences an unplanned pregnancy, and they feel a lot of fear with that, and they're afraid that I'm not ready for this, I'm scared of this. What might we think? Well, maybe I should end it. And sometimes, helping to end that pregnancy might feel like the loving thing to do. And people, there are probably people who would say that that is the loving thing to do. My friend is scared. I want them to not be scared. This is the way. But what would faith say? Well, faith would say, in fact, no, that that is not what love calls you to right now. But the commandments would show us that love calls us to something else. So these commandments give us the guidelines, the guideposts, and what it is to love in the right way as God calls us to. And if the person does make the decision to end the pregnancy, of course, there too, what does love call us to? But to keep on loving, supporting, embracing always. So we do have this call from Jesus very strong today, a call to love the world with the heart of Christ. And that's love that is true, that is real, that is costly, that is how he loves us.